WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A 16-year-old boy killed in a northeast Wisconsin sawmill was likely doing work allowed by Wisconsin child labor laws. Sheriff's records show Michael Scholes was trying to unjam a wood stacking machine at Florence Hardwoods on June 29th. The investigation says he was alone when he got pinned in some equipment. Security footage shows it took 17 minutes before anyone else noticed him. Scholes died 2 days later. Children as young as 16 in Wisconsin are allowed to work in planing mills. We're getting an idea of how an 800-acre wildfire in central Wisconsin started yesterday. As Melissa Kay reports, it's burned twice as much land as first thought.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources now says the fire burned about 830 acres in Washera County near Coloma. That's more than twice as much as earlier estimates. Investigators say the Pallet Fire was caused by burning debris yesterday afternoon. 20 buildings are destroyed and 8 firefighters were injured getting the fire under control. Fire danger is still high in most of Wisconsin. Wildfires can start and spread quickly because of drought, warm temperatures, and low humidity. It should be less windy today, but fire officials say you should avoid burning anything for the time being. Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
There's a new website to connect small farmers and food pantries in Wisconsin. As Mike Moan reports, it aims to help people on both sides in a time of need.
This month, a new directory went live where local producers can create a profile of their operation, including the types of food they grow. The online tool allows hunger relief organizations and meal programs to search for farmers who are given grants to produce a certain amount of food to be donated. Forrest Humphrey is with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He says making these connections can open a lot of doors.
Small farmers who may just sell at the farmers market, who haven't had a lot of opportunity to expand to larger markets.
Food shelves can stock up on healthier options as they report high levels of demand, especially after federal pandemic food aid expired earlier this year. I'm Mike Moen.
A new study concludes many healthcare providers don't have the experience to provide gender-affirming care. Guadalupe Marquez de Velarde says she'd like to see better instruction in medical schools.
Not only do their providers might not know how to treat them, but their providers might be legally prohibited from providing them care.
Marquez Velarde helped lead the study at Utah State University. The University of Wisconsin Parkside is cutting ties with the Northwestern University football team after revelations of hazing abuse. The Wildcats had held preseason practices in Kenosha since the 1990s. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. For WAUK, The Shaw, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what you need to know. Milwaukee's getting a sales tax. The Common Council voted for the 2% sales tax this morning on a 12-3 vote. State lawmakers and the governor put the matter to elected leaders as part of the shared state revenue deal. The mayor's office says the tax could generate about $190 million a year. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee County Board today is holding a public hearing on its own proposed sales tax. The Waukesha Parade killer is sentenced in an unrelated case. Daryl Brooks took a plea deal yesterday for possessing a firearm as a convicted felon. He was originally charged with 3 felonies, accused of shooting at his nephew and his nephew's friend 3 years ago. Brooks is serving 6 consecutive life sentences for his attack on the Christmas parade in 2021. I'm Terry Bell, and this is WAUK News.
The All-Star Game is tonight. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Midsummer Classic, baseball's All-Star Game, coming up at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. The Diamondbacks' Zach Gallen against the Yankees' Garrett Cole are the starters. Brewers pitcher Corbin Burns is there, excited to bring his son Carter and see former teammates like Josh Hader.
He's running around. He's having fun. He loves being in the clubhouse here. So you get to see Hader and his son Lucas, and it's been a while since they've been together too. So just not only enjoying it for my sake, but family. family's sake, getting families back together again.
Game time on Fox beginning at 7 o'clock. Getting underway at this hour, the Bucks Summer League action against the Brooklyn Nets. One player to keep an eye on is Nico Mannion out of Phoenix, 6'3", drafted out of high school from Golden State, and now getting a look at guard from Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
You know, your point guard is an extension of the coaching staff. You know, he's very intellectual guard, and I was able to relay a couple things. Sometimes you check in with them to see what they see, you know, and if it's better than mine, we go with it.
Adrian Griffin on the importance of a good performance tonight in Vegas.
You know, one of the things that I stress to them, because I've been through this myself as far as playing on summer league teams and trying to get jobs, is, you know, guys that can go out there and just execute whatever the coaches tell and take care of the ball. And he does that.
College football, Northwestern University has canceled Camp Kenosha after firing head coach Pat Fitzgerald for a hazing scandal. For over 30 years, the Wildcats have been working out for a week on the UW Parkside campus and staying in the dorms during training camp in August. Wisconsin's J.J. Watt is going to be on the cover of a box of Wheaties for the first time, but there's a catch. He's got to share with his younger brother, T.J. Watt, from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Three Defensive Player of the Year awards. He's got one, and we share the box. I'm going to have a conversation with somebody over at Wheaties about this.
That's J.J. Watt. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Roll it into the Taco Tuesday happy hour. And Tom, don't make me angry.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yes. Now, I'm occasionally accused of being an angry man. Do you know this? You've never accused me of this, have you?
You have had on occasion, you can you know, get a little fired up sometimes, but, you know, I think that happens to a lot of people.
But somehow it's seen as a deficiency when I do it.
Well, I've been around you a long time, Curtie. You know, these things really don't bother me a whole lot. But, you know, if someone's new to the game, they might be like, well, why is Curtie acting like that? That's just Curtie.
Well, I'm not the president of the United States. And Joe Biden, first time I've ever seen this accusation made against President Joe Biden. The headline here at Axios: Old Yeller, Biden's private fury.
Old Yeller.
You know how Old Yeller dies, don't you, Doug? In public.
Between two ferns? I don't remember.
In public, President Biden likes to whisper to make a point. In private, he's prone to yelling
loud noises.
Behind closed doors, Biden has such a quick trigger temper that some aides try to avoid meeting alone with him. Some take a colleague, almost as a shield against a solo blast. The president admonitions include God, and then I'm giving a little pause here. Damn it! How the F don't you know this? I often think that of you, Dom.
Here's what I think of you, Crudie. Don't effing BS me. Of course, he says it doesn't say BS. That's one. I get that one. What's another one?
Here's my favorite one to you. Get the F out of here. According to current and former Biden aides who have witnessed and been on the receiving end of such outbursts. So these are all anonymous attributions to the president, Joe Biden. Quick temper, profane mouth. My mama might have washed that mouth out with some lava soap.
You know, at some point, you know, you get old enough, you can say and do what you want, man. Why it matters, Axios ponders, the private eruptions paint a more complicated picture of Biden as a manager and president than his carefully cultivated image as a kindly uncle, Uncle Joe, who loves aviator sunglasses and ice cream. Well, can't you love aviator sunglasses and ice cream and still swear at M-Eppers when they're not pulling the weight, man?
If they got a comment.
I like ice cream, too!
Doesn't everybody like ice cream? Maybe not the lactose intolerant.
Some Biden aides think the president would be better off occasionally displaying his temper in public as a way to assuage voter concerns that the 80-year-old president is disengaged and too old for the office. So what, get fired up in public so you can convince people you're still there? I don't know how that works. Hey, we're being critical of your behavior. You should do more of that in public so people vote for you?
I'm not clear that this is... Well, you know, obviously no one wants to be on the receiving end, right?
No,
but is
of course.
This a critical article or a, did you know Joe gets, pops off and gets profane behind closed doors at his age?
Who doesn't? I mean, literally, come on. No, everyone was totally copacetic and calm all the time. I don't believe that, especially in a high stress environment like, you know, presidential. I highly doubt that, like, how the F don't you know this might be more than, like, you know, did you know the Baskin Robbins is closed, or did you know that, you know, Dairy Queen makes blizzards? I'm assuming these are probably a little more Joe getting mad about, you know, someone spilling the orange juice.
Dominic Biden aides still talk about how angry he got. Say that word. Omicron variant spread. The rage was temporary. Zents is now Biden's chief of staff. So, you know, it was a one-off, apparently, Dom. A spokesperson for Zents told Axios, I'm not going to speak to what internal convos may or may not have happened between Jeff and the president. The White House declined to comment. But there's no question that Biden's temper is for realsies. And it may not be as volcanic as Bill Clinton's, but it's definitely there, according to Chris Will. Inside Joe Biden's White House, Whipple's book quotes, former White House press secretary Jen Psaki is saying, I said to Biden multiple times, I know you have a really good, trusting relationship when you yell at me the first time. I love you, Dom! I'm yelling at you. That way you know it. Whipple notes, Psaki wouldn't have to wait long. Is there more to flush out here, Don?
Let's see. Biden's temper comes in the form of angry interrogations rather than erratic tantrums. He'll grill aides on topics until it's clear they don't know the answer to a question. A routine some see as meticulous, others call stump the chump or stump the dummy. Yeah, man, this is the president of the United States. Give the man an answer.
Well, I try not to get angry when you insufficiently answer, though, Tom.
If I don't know the answer, I'll tell you I don't know the answer. I'm not going to BS around with you, Crudy.
Really?
Being yelled at by the president has become an internal initiation ceremony in this White House, aides say. If Biden doesn't yell at you, it could be a sign he doesn't respect you. So you got to have that kind of relationship where you can express yourselves to each other. Now, my question is, you know, does anybody swear back? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that...
Hey, me get out of here. You get the F out of here. You know what I mean? I'm really curious about that because I've had a real hard time. And I'm fine with all those things. I mean, I get it. I can be in that kind of environment. But if you're going to give it, you better take it. I don't care if you're the president. If that's how it is, that's the environment, then it goes always around. Get the F out of here, Mr. President.
I'm seeking utter loyalty. Utter loyalty, Dom. I mean, you know, the office of the presidency deserves the respect, even if the man is, Johnson used to do? He used to take people in the bathroom and make them talk to him while he was sitting on the commode. Is he, sign of disrespect to the,
whip his junk out as well.
Sorry, Dom, I missed a little of that. One of the things that makes me angry. 7, 8, 9. If there's something that's not in the brief, he's going to find it. It's not to embarrass people. It's because he wants to get to the right decision. Most people who have worked for him like the fact that he challenges them and gets them to a better decision. Dom, do you like being challenged? I like challenging you to get you to better decision-making.
I have no problem with it. Again, as long as it's a give and take kind of relationship. Yes, well, certainly.
Dom, according to the Axios article, some Biden aides argue the president rages reflect his high expectations for his staff. I have a similar high expectation for you. Speaking Biden is a particular skill, they said. It takes years to learn to navigate his moodiness and anticipate what information he's going to ask for in a briefing. Years, Dom. You've known me for years. Can you anticipate my moodiness?
Yep. That's a coin flip every day.
It's coming soon, right? Some administration officials, many of whom went to elite schools, struggle with Biden's demand to ditch wonky acronym-filled language. They hate when they circle around and get back to him on that. Doesn't everyone?
Right. I'm out of pocket. You know, let's drill down on that.
I love all those buzzwords that people so like to fill their conversations with. The acronym filled language and brief him as if they were talking to a close family member who isn't in the DC bubble. Biden's defenders acknowledge he can be tough, but they also say he can be more generous and compassionate than many powerful politicians. Ron DeSantis and feel like family. That's partly why so many aides have worked with Biden for decades. I try to conceal my temper in public, Dom, but occasionally shows flashes of it. And some former aides have written about it. In January of 22, he was caught on a hot mic calling Fox News' Peter Doocy a stupid son of a bitch. Well, everybody knows Peter Doocy is a stupid son of a bitch. I mean, really, that was no embarrassment as far as I was concerned. Jeff,
you know, speaking the truth is you know, it's the truth. So it doesn't matter. It's okay.
Connington, Jeff Connington, he was chief of staff to Kaufman when he filled Biden's seat in the Senate, wrote about Biden's temper in a 2012 book on Washington's. Connington wrote that as a senator, Biden was a that's a harsh assessment. He told of a time when a 2008 presidential campaign when a 23-year-old fundraising staffer got into a car with Biden. Okay, Senator, time to get some fundraising calls, the aide said. Biden responded by looking at him and snapping, get the F out of the car!
I don't want to fundraise today!
Can't you do that, though? Sharper edge to promote his folksy Uncle Joe image, which is why, when flashes of anger break through, it seems so out of public character. We'll have to flash more angry. You'll really get to know us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Come back, 844-96-PARTY.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Diamond Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 59. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 71. Cloudy. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 61. Cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Diamond Crude. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Do I look like a s***? Look at my career, my whole career.
You're full of s***.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines are open for your take at 847-2789.
Dominic, some may not realize, but Wisconsin's Democratic governor's got a bit of a... And occasionally he gets feisty, salty, profane even.
Yes. Just a tad, yes.
Now, I haven't told this story in some time, Dom, but I feel like today is an appropriate day. First and foremost, we try to make a point of broadcasting the Democratic Party convention each and every summer. We would also do likewise for the Republicans, you know, if they cash our check and let us in the door. But anyways, right. We've been up to a number since Tony Evers. Now, I think it's his fifth convention as either a candidate or the governor. And he often drops a GD in the middle of his Saturday night speech. I've noticed that. We've had to dump the governor a couple of times in real time, live, speechifying on a Saturday night, and you got to dump the governor or the candidate because he's dropped something in there. And I was in the lobby of the La Crosse Center last summer when Governor Evers, and understand the Dobbs ruling, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, came down the Friday night before the Democratic convention. By Saturday, early lunch hour, Tony's on the landing and he's addressing the press and he's addressing the assembly. And Tony said, you know, I got 7 granddaughters. They had more rights when they woke up yesterday than when they went to bed. And I think that's BS. And Tony kind of dropped it. And I think he did so for impact. He knew what he was saying. But one time, you tease me occasionally, I briefly ran for governor and I debated Tony Evers and the topic was education. And specifically, I criticized the now governor, Tony Evers, because when Scott Walker was the governor and he was the DPI secretary, so many of the policies of Scott Walker were the policies of Tony Evers. You know, like it or not, they were married through the policies because both served in office concurrently. And I pointed out many times, I thought it was going to be awfully hard for Tony to contrast himself. You know, when Tony Evers called Scott Walker's last budget a very child-friendly budget, it's going to be very hard for him to to criticize that very same budget as being something less than child-friendly, because Scott Walker has a habit of using your words against you, Tony, right? That's the nice way of putting it. So we were at the Miramar Theater one Saturday afternoon.
And, Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee. And there was a debate, and I was a late entrant into the gubernatorial field. But the good folks...
But an early exit.
Thanks, man. Doesn't help this story, but let me... That doesn't happen until the Monday after this story takes place.
Okay, okay.
So let me talk about my last Saturday as a gubernatorial candidate. So I'm at the Miramar Theater
yeah,
in Milwaukee. And there are three flights of candidates. There were lots of gubernatorial candidates. And like eight of them showed up that day. And the WEAC, the organization that was running, they called it a candidate forum, flighted me with Tony Evers and Kel DeRoyce, now State Senator Kel DeRoyce. I didn't pick. I didn't choose, but we couldn't pick a better spot if you're trying to make an impression. Those were two of the front runners. I wanted to debate against Tony. And I challenged Tony, specifically utilizing an Alan Borsig article in the Journal Sentinel. He's an education writer, and he writes fine articles. And he said that the bad reading outcomes here in the state of Wisconsin were attributable not just to Scott Walker, but also to Tony Evers, because they co-chaired the Read to Lead board. Now, when I started challenging Tony Evers, the education superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction, in front of a theater full of WEAC teachers, Tony got, let's just say, short, a little hot under the collar. He was wearing his I Love Teachers t-shirt, and I was wearing a suit. I thought I looked a little better than Tony that day, but the other part, the hidden agenda...
You had a suit on. Ooh.
Well, and I had my Badger hat laying on the counter, and Tony walked up before the debate, started ribbing me before the debate started. Why don't you wear the hat, Crudy? I'm like, why don't you wear a tie, Tony? But anyways, what I knew that others in the attendance didn't know, because our radio station was broadcasting that event, and we had this 3 hours planned, an hour for each flight of gubernatorial candidates. Well, his campaign had called the night before and said, throw out the moderator or Tony's not going to show up. And that I knew and had me a little steamed under the collar, because not as candidate Crudy, but as radio station owner Crudy, the guy was the dean of education at Edgewood College that was thrown out as the moderator because Tony Evers felt like he was not supportive enough. And I felt like that was a petty move. So I challenged Tony on the Read to Lead board, citing an Alan Borsig article. He interrupted me about 20 different times. And he and I got back and forth. And it was not a good look for either man. Cooler heads did not prevail. The one that looked really good, Kel DeRoyce. She looked so smart, so above the fray that day.
Uh-huh.
And we got done and we started walking off stage because we had another flight of candidates starting in 5-6 minutes.
No, we stopped for a little quick social media photo first.
Well, before the social media photo started, somebody grabbed me. And it was candidate Tony Evers. He grabbed my arm. And I looked down, and Tony's not a big man, and I'm kind of a bigger guy, you know, like chubby college linebacker size, and Tony's Tony. So I knew it wasn't really a physical confrontation, but he got in my face and he got real salty. Crudy, stop effing lying about me. Stop effing lying. He sweared at me. I mean, it's like the guy started to pick a fight with me. And we're surrounded by teachers, and I'm out of time for this story. So I'll come right back. I'll tell you how it ended. Let's just say I'm not the governor.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. While the Northeast deals with record flooding from yesterday's torrential downpours, the rest of the country is dealing with rising heat. Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams.
Today, above average temps get into Denver and Salt Lake City. By the end of the week, it's going to make its way all the way up into the Northwest.
Arizona could break a record for the most consecutive days above 110 degrees. And in California, homes are crumbling from landslides. LA County Supervisor Janice Hahn.
Everything's collapsing. They're all falling. The force of gravity is taking them. They will all eventually go.
A woman who served decades behind bars for following cult leader Charles Manson is out of prison. CBS's Matt Piper.
After serving 53 years, Charles Manson follower Leslie Van Houten has been released from a California prison. It comes after Governor Gavin Newsom said he would not fight a state appeals court ruling that the now 73-year-old should be granted parole.
CBS News Brief.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For WAUK, The Shaw, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what you need to know. There's a silent rally planned before tomorrow's Waukesha School Board meeting. Rally is in support of first grade teacher Melissa Temple, who got in trouble with school district officials for tweeting her concerns about the song Rainbow Land being removed from the higher elementary school spring concert. Superintendent Jim Siebert says Temple's tweet violated district policy. Milwaukee's getting a sales tax. The Common Council voted for the 2% sales tax this morning on a 12-3 vote. State lawmakers and the governor put the matter to elected leaders as part of the shared state revenue deal. The mayor's office says the tax could generate about $190 million a year. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee County Board today is holding a public hearing on its own proposed sales tax. I'm Terry Bell, and this is WAUK News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK. Okay.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, rolling through the Tuesday happy hour. It's telling a story. Got all interrupted by these ads and the news and such. So let me complete the story. So anyways, the story was the day Crudy debated Tony Evers. And I challenged Tony Evers on the reading performance scores of Wisconsin students. And I utilized an Alan Borsig article that apparently Tony had not seen or was unfamiliar with. And Borsig was critical of both Evers and Scott Walker because the scores were still low. And the proposed solution was a read to lead board. And we had had Senator Chris Larson, a Milwaukee area senator, on our fine show like a week prior and asked Chris, Chris had the read to lead board. Never even met. We never even got together. So it wasn't a solution. It was a blue ribbon panel thrown at the wall to see if the problem would go away on its own. And of course, problems don't go away on their own. So it was a apt criticism, I thought. And I thought, considering the audience and, you know, the nature of the candidate forum that we were having, I thought it was my opportunity to challenge Tony Evers on what I thought was not going to be his strength when it was time to debate Scott Walker. Because Scott Walker certainly wasn't going to draw a contrast. Well, Tony, you embraced my budget. You called it kid-friendly. Well, Tony, your bad reading scores are my bad reading scores. Right?
We're we did this together.
We co-chaired the Read to Lead board. So any criticism that he might offer was going to be blunted by the fact that, you know, he had a couple of things where he either agreed with Walker or he chaired with Walker or whatever. Tony got real spirited.
Spirited, yes.
He was very spirited. You were there, Dom. You were in close proximity. And, you know, so Tony starts gunning me on, Crudy, quit lying. Quit effing lying. The guy's swearing at me.
I mean, after the debate, after we took our social media picture, yes.
After our hour of debate, we're standing there, and the audience can probably hear most of what's going on. And so anyways, Tony grabbed me, and then I chastised him for not having the courage to stand up to Dr. Tim Slecker, host of Busted Pencils, Tuesday night, coming up at 7 o'clock. Wonder if Tim remembers this story. But Evers had forced the moderator out for his hour. Slecker moderated the other 2 hours, but not the hour that Tony Evers appeared on, because Tony personally thought he had an axe to grind or whatever. And he was, quote-unquote, the front runner, and he had the power to push out the moderator, and they did. Technically, his campaign chair, now his chief of staff, did. Well, Dom, you know, my wife was completely embarrassed by the fact I had run for governor without her prior consent or thoughtful consideration or a family discussion or any of those sort of things. Some do. And, you know, it'd been nearly a month on the campaign trail. And, you know, I noticed the local media didn't see the value in stories we're trying to make stories, like the fact that campaign coordination was legal in the state of Wisconsin suddenly under the corrupted campaign finance laws of Scott Walker. And if Scott Walker was going to use the corrupted laws, so was I. And I was going to use a third-party group, the People for People People Corporation, to coordinate with the Crute for Wisconsin campaign. And in fact, we sent out a joint press release with the exact same wording from both the campaign and the third-party group, just to demonstrate how clearly these two organizations were going to coordinate, which was now completely legal under Wisconsin campaign finance law. And the local press went, they yawned. Because they still wanted access to Scott Walker. And of course, they weren't going to challenge the man. This was the law of the land. If corruption's the law of the land, then it's good. And if we want to continue to have access to Scott Walker, we're not going to challenge the man on something like the corruptness of the campaign finance laws here in the state of Wisconsin that he, of course, had changed so he could continue to corrupt them. But back to Tony Evers. So Tony and I had a few coarse words, and the man showed he has plenty of fire in his belly. He was mad as hell at me.
Oh, yes,
he does. I was a little mad back, and it's the fact that Tony is not of the same stature as me that probably permitted him to approach me in a physical way, swear in my face, and not get a knuckle sandwich, if you know what I'm saying. But never came to any of that. And then it was time for the social media picture.
Which I just sent to you.
And, oh, did you? You shared it? We should put it up on social media. Yeah. Because Kelda was beaming. She was radiant up there in the center of the photo. And Crudy and Tony Evers looked like we were mugging it up for like the pre-fight. You know what I mean? Like when they line right. The boxers
you got done weighing in, and now you're in your boxers, nose to nose, chin to chin.
And it was a weird sort of stacked ranked choice voting straw poll they did at the debate there at the Miramar with the teachers in attendance choosing their preferred candidates. And Kel DeRoyce won that day.
Yes,
we did. Made her look so good by comparison. Oh, did she look good compared to me and Tony that day? Because we both came off as relatively petty, although I blame petty Tony. Couldn't have been my fault.
Yeah. A little sour. I mean, the look on you, yours, and Tony's face from that day, I took that shot right after this confrontation, altercation, discussion. And Tony's sour, Crudy's sour, everybody's sour, but Earl and Kelda smiling ear to ear, baby.
They were very happy. It was a great hour of radio, if nothing else. And so Kelda won the straw poll. Tony took 7th. Crudy took 8th. Paul Soglin, who was not there, took 9th.
All right. You didn't come in last, Crudy.
Well, Soglin didn't show up. He might have been disqualified from the straw poll, but Soglin was the least favored in that he didn't attend. And of the 9, make that 8 candidates in attendance, I finished last. Just a skosh behind Tony Evers, who, as the superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction, didn't fare so well in front of that teacher-led audience that day, because he didn't look any better than I did. But as Tony was the polling front runner and had the money and all that stuff, by Monday morning, I got out. I just said, I'm done. Won't have this guy to kick around anymore, I think. Thought I was being a little clever in my quote. And Theo Keith, then with Channel 58 in Milwaukee, came down to the Brady Street Studios to interview me bright and early. Why I was there so early, I think I had launched on Earl's show, and I think I pulled the plug on Earl's show. And then Theo Keefe came down to
interview. Yes.
Okay. Interview. It felt like an interruption to interview me. And I said, you know, you won't have this guy to kick around anymore. And, you know, I said, basically, I didn't want to be Donald Trump bare knuckling my way through the Democratic field. You know, it becomes starkly apparent to me, any of the campaign things I was going to put out there, like campaign corruption and pointing out the broken campaign finance laws, these things I wanted to build a campaign on, weren't gaining any traction with local press. So the only thing that was getting any sort of notice, well, I think it was described as the bizarre interplay between me and Tony on a debate. You know, it was the fact that the now governor of the state of Wisconsin yelling in my face, effing liar, Crudy. You know, that is my claim to fame. I bring
one of the many, Kurt.
I bring one of many. A passion out of this governor that yes. You have ever seen.
And no question about it, Crudy. I didn't know that Governor Evers had that kind of passion. And I got to be honest, Crudy. I think you instill that passion in lots of people that you interact with, and they end up being very passionate after your conversations with them. And I didn't know Tony was so fiery and was so
profane
with the F bombs, man. I mean, I gained a little bit of respect for him. Called
didn't
you out?
Didn't you? I've told the story a few times. Actually, in grudging admiration when you talk about, you know, old Tony or whatever. No, he's got plenty of fire in his belly. You should know the Tony I know.
It's true. I thought it was a little strange at the time. Of course, I saw the grab on the arm, and he kind of leaned in and swore at you a little bit, and you got back at him, but you didn't grab him. I noticed that. Then I was like, hey, everyone, let's take a picture. And like a minute later, and then that's what that picture ended up being.
I've got to take a peek.
But to the point, bring this back to
man. Tony's got like his jaw set.
Oh yeah,
he's mad.
He's ready to blow. He is ready to go. Thought you guys would be MMAing up there. But yeah. So I actually came away with. I mean, he does have some fire. He's got some, you know, obviously constitution and strength, and more than just beyond the euchre and the folksiness. And I get it. I mean, we want to put our best face forward, right? Certainly, don't we all? Sometimes, you know, we lose our tempers, and sometimes we drop the F-bombs, and sometimes we mean it, sometimes it's for effect. Sometimes there's no better word to describe what we're trying to communicate. So, you know, here we are, man. It happens. So what? And Republicans, if you look at the orange guy, and let's go back and revisit some of the things he has said throughout his political career and his business career, I'd be hard-pressed to think that those aren't anything any worse than or are any better than what we're hearing being reported about Joe Biden or even Tony Evers.
What? I didn't know Earl gave Kelda a hug. Earl's giving out hugs? No wonder why Kelda's smiling. Kelda got a hug? Where was my hug? Candidate Crudy got no hug. Yeah. I would have taken a hug from Tony or you or Earl. But I didn't get a hug, man. That's why I was so
That's why you were a little salty.
844.
Yes, no more swearing, Crudy. Very bad. Very
967-2789. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got for us, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, well, good for them for being salty when they need to be salty. I mean, that's it's perfectly appropriate because considering the amount of crap that they have to take on a daily basis, they need to blow off a little steam. And so I don't have a big problem with it.
In Dom's case, that's not steam coming out of the windows, though. Just so we're clear, Mark, that's not steam.
It's like the spicoli, man.
I don't have a problem with it. Considering what the last president did, I mean that, what he did on leaving office. I mean that the fact that Joe Biden is salty or Tony Evers is salty, considering what the Republicans did to him before he even got into office. I mean, I'd be salty too. I mean that there's in my lesser moments ago, it'd be nice if he could invite them to a nice little family fray gathering like Arya Stark did when she got rid of the whole
thing. Are we going full red wedding here, Mark? Holy schmoly.
I mean, rhetorically speaking, of course, Mark.
Here's a guy that occasionally fires me up. CJ, welcome back. How you doing, fella?
Hey, CJ. What do you think about Joe Biden using the MFers, man?
Fiery Joe Biden. Angry Joe.
Well, thanks, Crudy and Dom, for taking my call. But, you know, America's finding out that, you know, Commander Cut and Run, he's in his early stages of Alzheimer's, and a vote for him is going to be a vote for do-nothing VP Harris. So if you look up the symptoms of dementia, and I've seen it in my own family and other friends.
Are you diagnosing?
It's a big part of it, CJ.
If you believe the book, he's been angry since at least the 08 campaign, since he was egomaniacal senator.
No, we've watched him, and it's pretty sad. So finally the press is realizing it, and your party claims to care about democracy. Well, this grumpy old man denied his seventh grandchild.
CJ, I can't take any more of you today. Sorry, gotta let you go.
I just got five things to say to you, CJ. Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over.
then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies tonight with a chance for scattered storms. Lows dip down to about 59. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 71. Cloudy skies. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows level off around 61. Cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. Join us, 844-967-2789. Stick around, Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show, coming up at 6 o'clock.
This one's going out for you, Tony Evers. You know who comes up after Maggie Dawn, of course? Busted Pencils. Educated Educators Talking Education with Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. I wonder if Tim remembers that gubernatorial debate.
Call him up and ask him, man.
I know he does. I mean, if you're the moderator of a gubernatorial debate and someone calls up the station the night before from the campaign and says, we want a different moderator for our candidate or he's not going to show. What do you do? That's one of the things that bothered me the most. I'm glad I've publicly exposed. No regrets.
Yeah, glad you got that out, Curtis. Well, listen, man. No matter
how I wouldn't want to be accused of being angry or petty after the fact.
Well, of course not. It's been years now. I'm sure everyone's gotten over it, right, Curtis? Well, right, Tony?
The last five times he appeared on the show, all before that day. Actually, he came on the show after that day. That's the surprising thing.
For the right before the election, though, right? That was his last kind of swing.
He was elected. In October of 2018, Tony Evers was still willing to come on the greatest radio show ever. I think the last time I introduced him was the enemy of my enemy, Tony Evers. And he hadn't been back since. I don't know why.
I don't know why. Pretty good news. The good news out of all of this is we are not the Michigan GOP.
Oh, what did they do? You've been trying to tell me, but I've been ignoring the conduct of the Michigan GOP because I want to let you tell me this story. Tell me all about it, Dom.
Well, I guess my home state, baby, and the GOP continues its downward decline. The Michigan Advance reporting. Here's the headline. Michigan GOP meeting melee prompts further questions about Caramo's leadership and party finances. What? So here we go. The leadership in Michigan, direction and finances of the Michigan Republican Party are being questioned following a physical melee that broke out at a state committee meeting over the weekend.
A melee?
I was in Detroit. I totally missed it. Apparently, I was not in Clare. Saturday morning, a special gathering at the Doherty Hotel in Clare came amid public questioning of the leadership of the new chair, Christina Caramo, specifically how party funds were being raised and spent. Isn't that always a question? She was elected in March in a crowded field after her unsuccessful bid to be the Secretary of State. However, the event instead made national headlines. Don't you love it when you go local and now it becomes national? When a party member and a county party chair got into a scuffle that brought out police and could result in charges. Mark DeYoung, chairman of the Clare County Republican Party, told the Detroit News he was attacked by Wayne County Republican James Chapman when he opened a locked door Chapman was trying to open. Here's the quote. He kicked me in my balls as soon as I opened the door, DeYoung told the news, adding that Chapman then slammed him into a chair, breaking his rib and requiring a trip to the emergency room. Chapman alleges DeYoung took a swing at him first, prompting him to remove his glasses. When you see me taking off my glasses, I'm ready to rock, Chapman was quoted by the news as saying. DeYoung denies he acted first and he plans to press charges. Police say a complaint has been filed and was being investigated.
I lost track of the multiple people in the melee, but whoever did the nard kicking, that person clearly crossed the line down.
Can we agree,
you kick someone in the nards, that's crossing the line.
I mean, Wayne County Republican James Chapman. That's what the Republicans, I mean, this is it, right? So they got a new chair. They're like lots of the state parties are burning through money, right? Some of the reporting we've seen of how much money they have on hand versus how much debt they have because of them getting behind these BS claims of Trump to, you know, challenge the election, yada, yada, yada.
The Arizona GOP, shockingly, after the cyber ninjas had their way in Maricopa County, they're apparently broke.
I mean, strange how that happens. But no matter how bad it gets, Crudy, when you and now Governor Tony Evers at the debate stage talking education, there was no kicking of the balls like going on at the Michigan GOP. If that doesn't just describe the entirety of the grand old party right now, I don't know what does.
I feel like you're describing a scene from Weird Science. Remember when boys get drunk and they go down to the jazz bar? She kicked me right in the nuts. She broke my heart.
Broke my heart, man. Broke my heart. So, we're down. You know, we're down with the spirited debates. Lots of philosophies and things to address, and priorities are different, and experiences are different, and we embrace those things. And yes, there will be absolutely confrontation and philosophical differences, but at least no one's getting kicked in the private parts. Well done, Michigan GOP. Way to make the national news. Like, Trump was there recently, wasn't he?
National news or Michigan?
In Michigan, yes.
Where was he most recently? Where, what's his face? Oh, our boy, Chris Christie. Hope he makes the debate stage.
Oh, no doubt. If he does, then Trump certainly isn't coming. At least not to Milwaukee.
You keep saying that. I don't think he's as scared of Christie as you think Trump is. I think he, you know, sees him as some sort of peon. Remember he had Christie at Mar-a-Lago? He made him eat mom's meatloaf.
I remember all that. I mean,
and he got two scoops of ice cream and Christie
projection. He has so much insecurity. He's such a narcissist. It's such an overplay, right? I mean, that's what Trump does. He overcompensates for his lack of everything. Of everything. That's what Trump does.
Well, Chris Christie gives me a pleasant thought to end the day on, Dom. I'd like to share it with you and the audience. GOP presidential candidate Chris Christie said Tuesday that former President Trump goes to bed every night thinking about the threat of going to jail over his 37-count federal indictment in the classified documents case. I bet he's right about that. Christie, the former governor of New Jersey, said based on the indictment, he believes Trump would be convicted and ultimately face jail time if he went to trial. During an interview on MSNBC's Morning Joe, Christie said that to avoid going to jail, Trump may consider making a deal, Dom. Who's he going to flip on? There's no one left to flip on. Rudy's flipping on you right now. He may consider taking a plea deal instead of going to trial, despite his claims that he's not afraid. Here is Christie's quote. Because part of what the Department of Justice has always done under all of my attorneys general that I've seen in my lifetime is if we offer you a plea, which I'm certain they will, and you turn it down and you take us to trial and you're convicted, that judge is sending you to jail. And I'm telling you, no matter what he says, no matter how he's bragging and going on and on about him not being afraid, he goes to bed every night thinking about the sound of that jail cell door closing behind him. So take that one to bed. Don't be angry. Don't drive angry.
Don't drive angry.
Thank you for listening. See you on hump day.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.